All right, welcome to the call, guys. We're talking about pushing the limits and taking risks. We've had a bit of a conversation with some of the people on the call already, and first I want to welcome you all to the call. I know that some of you have had lots and lots of exposure to us so far, and some of you are newbies. So for those newbies who don't know what they're in for, put your seatbelt on and relax, enjoy, and join us for the ride. And everyone knows that when I do teleseminars, I encourage as much conversation and participation as possible. It is certainly not a monologue, so don't expect just a presentation. My expectation is that you participate as much as possible by following any instructions that I give, as well as by sharing your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas, and your questions. So, Carla, you had something to share.
I just in talking about, you know, the theme and the topic for today, it reminded me of when we came up with the topic for the course, and it was when you were sharing a story that I think you're going to share today. And for me, when you are surrounded in conversation about risk and courage and stories of risk-taking, for me it helps me to actually think bigger and to expand myself and to look in my life where I can play bigger when sometimes it doesn't seem it's not visible.
Well, we're going to definitely talk a little bit about being exposed to risk takers and also look at risk in a slightly different way and really understand what risk is in terms of what is exactly risky versus what isn't so risky, right? And how do we evaluate those things with a different mindset? Because I think part of what we as human beings get hung up with is we have a skewed idea of what's actually a risk. And I think, you know, that is a huge part of our conversation today. So what we're going to start off with is everybody grab a piece of paper and a pen, and I'd really like you just to spend a few minutes, maybe 2 minutes, to journal without lifting your pen. And here are the questions. There are three fundamental questions I'd like you to answer. The first question is, and part A, part B, or same question worded a little differently, is what do you really want to do or accomplish that seems bigger than you? Or what do you really want to experience that you are scared to do? So what is it that you would want that feels like a risk? That's question number one. The second question is how important is it that you have that in your life? So on a scale of 1 to 10, and what would it mean to you if you had that? And then the last question is what do you think is holding you back? So anybody have any questions before you attempt to journal on that subject? All right, I'm giving you 2 minutes, starting now.
And what was the third question again, please?
The third question is, what is holding you back? What do you think is getting in the way?
Also.
Yeah, so the first question is what do you really want to do or accomplish that seems bigger than you and or what do you want to experience that you're scared to do? And the second question is how important is it that you have this experience in your life and what would it mean to you?
Thank you.
All right. So put down your pen. And before I ask you what you've written on your paper, I'm going to share a little bit about the research we've done over the years to help us understand the real big differentiator between people who take risks and people who play it safe. So it's interesting that you guys have come onto this call because you're interested in taking more risks. And there's an inherent understanding or knowledge that those people who do take risks get reward at the other end of it. It's risk is something we're afraid of. So there's an interesting kind of dichotomy that exists right there that says, I know that if I take risks, I have a greater likelihood for positive outcomes versus if I don't take risks, and yet most people are risk averse. That's an interesting paradigm that we live with on an ongoing basis, day to day to day to day. So let's just go back for a brief moment. What differentiates those people who take risks from people who play it safe? It's really one thing, and I'll call it their vision. So write that down. My vision determines whether or not I'll take risks. My vision determines whether or not I'll take risks. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? I don't mean that people who take risks never envision failing. It's quite the opposite, actually. People who take risks imagine failing just as much as people who don't take risks. Here's the big difference, though, is that people who take risks imagine failing and continue with their vision of getting up after the failure and continuing on their way. That is the difference, right there. So they play it out in their minds fully. They imagine the risk, they imagine succeeding, and they imagine failing. So they see a very, very broad picture, and after the picture of failure, they say, here's what I'll do if I fail. Here's how I will recover from such a thing. And given that idea that I can recover, I have just mitigated my risk. And so what they do is they create a perspective or they size up the risk. How big is this risk really? And the size of the risk is dependent on their recovery rate, their ability to recover. Okay, so keep that in the back of your mind. And so as you look at risks in front of you, now you're no longer ever, from here on in, going to look at just the risk. You're going to look at beyond the risk and say, okay, so if this is a perceived risk for me, and we'll discuss how we assess risk in a few minutes, if this is a perceived risk for me, what is exactly the cost of failing, and how long and what kind of effort will it require for me to recover? Not only what is the potential positive outcome, but let me go further than that, and let me imagine getting back up after a failure. Now, when I imagine, or when anyone imagines getting back up after a failure, what am I building up for myself? Anybody?
Is that resiliency?
Yes. Yeah. That's me focusing on my emotional resilience. That's me building up my strength. That's me saying, my life is going to have falls or failures, and it's part of my life. But it will never, ever keep me down. It won't stop me in my tracks. So what I want to do right now is just share with you a quote. I got it in my inbox this morning. I thought, wow, how crazy is that? But here it is. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. And the person who said that was Michael Jordan. So let's continue. Not only do these people who succeed understand that failure is part of the process, right? They factor it in. They say, the more I fail, the more I have a higher likelihood of success. So failure isn't actually a failure unless I don't get back up again. So that getting back up again component is crucial to managing risk. Crucial to managing risk. Is everybody
Kim,
with me?
I just read a quote this week. It's Sunny. Falling down is not defeat. Defeat is when you refuse to get up. And I wrote it down.
There you go.
Interesting.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. Now, there's another part to this, right? There's the perception of the pain associated with failure. Perception of pain. Write that down. Perception of pain associated with failure. So we typically prevent ourselves from taking risks because we perceive a very dramatic pain associated with that risk if it goes wrong. And what I want you to know is that the perception of pain is in your control. The perception of pain is in your mindset. So you've probably written this down a million times for me before, but let's go at it one more time. Okay, four words: thoughts, beliefs, expectations, results. Again, thoughts, beliefs, expectations, results. So the thoughts that you have over and over and over again form the beliefs that you have. The beliefs that you have create your expectations, and your expectations lead to the results that you get. So part of understanding risk is understanding the point where we're focused on expectations. And what happens is when we stop ourselves from taking a risk, at that very moment, we've already told the story and run through the course of failure in our minds. We've already played it out. We've already created the expectation that this isn't going to work out. Because if you knew that a risk you took would be guaranteed to work out, nothing would stop you from ever taking a risk. The only thing that stops you from taking a risk is the perception of the pain that's associated with failing. And let's call that the expectation of failure. So what are we really talking about today? We're not talking about not failing. We're not talking about lowering your failure rate. We're talking about getting back up. And we're talking about telling the story a little differently. And we're creating two critical stories. Okay, two stories. You need to write that down. Story number one is the story of success when you take the risk and playing it out and imagining the success and feeling the success even before you've taken the risk. So you're in the situation where you've taken the risk and you've come out with a positive outcome, even a better than positive outcome, a reward better than your wildest expectations. That's one story we write. The second story we write is the worst possible outcome, right? The story of terrible failure and recovery. So we never can stop at failure. So what's the role of journaling in all of this? The role of journaling is that journaling allows us to explore these two stories. Journaling gives us the discipline to take our minds down these two very, very different paths and end up in a place that says, hey, that's okay, I can handle this. In fact, the risk isn't as big as I thought. See, where people stop short, where people actually fail, is in running through the course of the story and imagining failure and ending there. Okay? Is everybody with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any questions from anybody so far? Wow. Okay, so what I want to do right now is pause for a moment, and I would like to hear what some of you have written in your journals. So I got Jennifer, I got Sunny, I got Tiffany, I got Laura, and I got Chris. Anybody else? And who wants to start?
I guess Hi, it's
start.
Jillian.
It's who?
Jillian.
Joanne, okay.
Jillian.
Jillian. Right. Hi, Jillian.
All right, Joanne, what did you write?
I just kind of wrote just bullet points. For me is, you know, building my business is part of taking the risk of moving past the fear of talking to people, the fear of telling people about my business. And then by taking these risks and putting myself out there, it'll help me create my dreams, which, you know, some of it's money and some of it's independence. And what keeps me from doing this is me, ultimately. It's not allowing the time, and it's fear-based, and that's pretty much it.
So, Joanne, let me just understand a couple of things, okay? So what you really want to accomplish is building your business.
Yes.
Yes? And
yes.
What you really need to do is get comfortable in talking to people.
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yes.
And so right now that causes discomfort for you, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So talk to me about it. So you have an opportunity right now. Actually, you're on the phone with, I don't know how many people, 20, 30 people, 40 maybe, and you have the opportunity to tell us about your business. Are you going to take it right now?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about your business.
I'm a sexual health educator and a sexual health consultant. I do private in-home parties for women, which are educational-based, in products of how to maintain intimacy for couples and with themselves, and working with people through their health process, whether they have chronic illnesses, cancer, or in a state of well-being, to help promote that intimacy and maintain it.
Interesting. And so how hard was that right this second?
Right this second, no, but it was the moment before that was like just trying to breathe through.
Okay, so what happened the moment before? And what I want to do is I want to walk you through your process right there. So there's two things. It's you're experiencing some kind of fear, discomfort, attention, whatever that is. Number one is, what is that about? Number two is, what enabled you to just do it anyway?
Well, what enabled me is I'm pretty good about getting called on the carpet and, you know, having to do it. But if there's no one to call me on the carpet, that's where I struggle.
Okay.
So it's like having that person sitting, whether it's inside my brain or right in front of me, telling me to call myself, calling me out on the carpet. Like, okay, are you going to do this or not?
Okay. So, and what was the big deal? So let's work it out. So what is the worst that could have happened?
Disinterest.
Okay. And?
In this scenario, probably just disengagement or, you know, disgust or, you know,
okay.
People's own perceptions.
Okay, so you've already gone into their heads and decided for them how they might perceive you.
Right.
You haven't even given them a chance to respond or react in a positive or interested manner. You've already told the story of what they think of you. Yes?
Right.
So the way you think affects your results. The way you think affects the way you present yourself. The way you think affects the way you speak and the way you're heard. The way you think affects the way people receive you. Absolutely 100%. Right? So in the best
right.
case scenario, you would have someone say, hey, Joanne, where are you located? Right? Could it be even better than that?
I'm sorry?
Could it be even better than that? What would be the best case scenario?
That people would want to hear more about my business or become one of my clients or wanting to, you know, be part of the process.
Okay. So, Joanne, where are you located?
In Arizona.
Okay, and do we have to be in Arizona to get your consulting?
No.
Oh, so it could be over the phone?
Yeah, over the phone, email, whatever.
Okay. Question for the rest of the listeners. Is what Joanne's doing interesting to us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's interesting to me. So, Joanne, would you like to share your website?
My personal website is not up, but I have the where you can order products, and you can also email me, which is all on there.
Okay.
So it's www.jillian, I'll spell this out for you, J-I-L-I-A-N, McDermott,
Jillian.
M-C, yes, M-C-D-E-R-M-O-T-T.
Say that again, Jillian, then what happens after Jillian?
McDermott, my last name, M-C-D-E-R-M-O-T-T
okay.
dot pure, P-U-R-E, romance.com.
Did everyone get that? JillianMcDermott.pureromance.com.
Got it.
Okay. So, Jillian, your job is to do this, is to say, what is the belief that I have? And as you're journaling, you're going to walk through it. What is the belief that I have that causes me to believe, that caused me to think, that caused me to worry about people's negative perceptions? And probably you have some story that goes like this. When I talk about sexuality, people get weird about it, and it causes different reactions, and I don't know what I'm going to get. I can get a positive reaction or a negative reaction. I'm not sure what I'm going to get. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Would it also be accurate to say that sometimes you get good reactions, in fact, probably more often than not? At least curiosity.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so here's what's interesting to me. Again, go through the process of writing out the best case scenario and go through the process of writing out the worst case scenario and identify what it looks like to recover from the worst case scenario. I want to share with you a little story. This morning I did something very interesting. I interviewed my dad and I recorded it. So just me and my dad. And my dad runs a very large company with five or six different manufacturing plants worldwide, and what they do is they produce powder that's sprayed onto metals and baked in ovens, so it's paint in the form of powder. And for 19 years he worked for a company, and all of a sudden he decided he's done with that company, he's going to start his own company. So he left the security of his personal, you know, life, getting an income and supporting his family and all that stuff. He dropped it and he decided to start a business. He got partners involved, he borrowed money, he did all that kind of thing, and he completely kind of jumped off the roof and decided to grow his own business. And I asked him one simple question. I said, that was a pretty big risk. What enabled you to take it? He said, I didn't really perceive it as a risk. I said, well, why is that? He said, because if I failed, I could just, you know what, I could go sell cars. He said, I know cars better than any other car salesperson on the planet. I know about horsepower and engines and motors. And, you know, he said, if I failed, I could just get up and go sell cars. So what did he do? He completely, completely reduced the risk because he played out the failure and imagined himself getting up again. Now his company, he has maybe 400 or 500 people working for him all over the world. Brazil, Belgium, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Toronto, Montreal. And to me what was most interesting is that there was no perception of risk. And here was the more interesting part of the conversation. He said the bigger risk was in staying where I was. And he said, because here's what actually happened to the company I was working for. 4 years later, it closed down. I could see the writing on the wall. I knew that if I stayed here, there was not going to be a future for me. And I couldn't imagine myself being here in the future. I had to make a change. And as I decided to make a change, I recognized that the change was eventual, and it wasn't such a big risk in the long run. And so as you look at what you're doing, Joanne and whoever else we talk to, look at the risk of not making a move versus the risk of making a move, failing, and getting up. And it's a night and day experience, isn't it? When we imagine being able to get back up. Here's the more interesting thing, is that the risks we perceive are usually minor. So, Joanne, imagine telling your story right here on this call and actually no one taking interest. Are you physically hurt by that?
No.
Has your life changed dramatically from a moment ago? Had that negative outcome unfolded?
No.
No. Are your emotions touched?
A little.
A little. Okay. Your emotions are touched a little. And that is in your control because of the story you tell and the way that you think about it. right? I remember one day I had a conversation with a gentleman who was extremely successful at real estate sales. And anybody who's in real estate really knows that's a challenging business to get into with a lot of rejection. And I said, well, how did you do that? He said, well, I just call people. I'd make cold calls, one after the other. And I said, well, how would you handle the rejection? He said, well, look, if I make one sale, I earn, let's say, $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000, let's just say. He said, so every single call that I would make would bring me closer to that $6,000 or $7,000. So what I did was I mentally played a game, and I said, every call I make, I'm actually earning $5, regardless of whether they say yes or no. And so I'd pick up the phone, and I'd make my pitch, and if they'd say no, thank you, I'd say, thanks, just make $5. Bye, click. And every time he'd pick up the phone, he'd say, $5, $5, $5, $5. It would take him 2 minutes to make $5. And that's how he played the game. And so did he experience rejection? Sure, he experienced rejection. But he quickly moved along to the next $5. And so the game that he played in his mind allowed him to just pummel through it and find the person in those 100 calls who would say, yes, I'm interested in talking. Right? And so the story you tell and the game you play, write that down, the game I play matters. The way I configure the activity I'm doing in my mind is crucial to my success. Is that helpful, Joanne? Yes?
Yes, but you have to stop calling me Joanne. It's Jillian.
It's Jillian. I apologize.
It's okay.
I apologize. I'm having hearing difficulties today. Jillian.
It's okay. Yeah, it does, because, you know, I do it as far as, you know, I'm like, okay, you got to play this game, and I do look at things as games, so that actually speaks a lot to me, so that helps.
In your case, I mean, it's interesting because you're selling sexual intimacy. That's what you're selling. And there's got to be a part of you that has this sexual energy. And that's hugely all about play. Hugely. And what's interesting is that you're delivering this concept, this idea, and holding yourself back from the essential, the play element. Right? Because that's what's required to be able to invite people into this idea and invite people into the idea of greater intimacy. Right? So you've got to, in a way, it's your obligation, it's your job to allow yourself to play and to allow your sexual energy to drive your results and your engagement. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Just like it's my obligation to show up on this call turned on, excited, energetic. It's my obligation. It's my pleasure, too. I'm the beneficiary. But it's certainly my obligation, the same as you. Does that follow for you?
No.
No, it doesn't?
I'm sorry. I'm doing two different things at once, and my kids are screaming in my ear.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Who else wants to share what they wrote in their journal?
This is Melissa. Could I share?
Yes, please.
Okay. So real quickly, my background is that I worked in marketing, and I wanted to have a freelance business, and then a month ago I lost my job. So here I am on unemployment, and I need to reemploy myself in some way or another. And the risk is what I want to be able to work for myself out of my home with minimal, like, child care hours and expenses, so I can kind of balance earning money with taking care of my family, and it's very important to me. And so I'm in this spot where it's risky, but I'm in that quote that you said about the bigger risk is in staying where I was. Like, if I go and get another J-O-B, I'm going to be back to the old routine of hustling kids to and from child care that, you know, that I hated, and everything was harried and everybody was cranky. And so my biggest fear is actually having to go back to that, not, you know, getting out on my own. But I'm going to have to do new things that I'm not as comfortable with. So I'm pretty comfortable with my ability to do the writing. It's the starting to make cold calls, making connections, you know, all those sorts of things that are, I have to rely on myself. I can't just go in and I get like a regular paycheck every week after week after week that I would be, you know, it would be all based on me. So I could potentially be more financially well off, but, you know, there's the risk there that I wouldn't be, if that makes sense.
So what's the biggest scary part of thinking about running a successful business on your own?
The biggest, scariest part is, just getting up and running and trying to figure out who to contact and the rejection. And then also, like, the if it's on my schedule if I can't get the rest of my family on board, that I would need to carve out the time that I need to do the work. I'm afraid that I wouldn't be as reliable as I would want to be, that I am a little bit, like, codependent, like I could let other people get in my way.
Okay.
So, you know, put
so
other
if I can't
people's
get
needs.
The rest of, if I can't get the rest of my family on board, so in other
yes.
words, they have to behave a certain way during your working hours?
Yes, and also, like, I think that my husband's more afraid of the non-regular paycheck than I am, even. So if he's not support, like, I think he thinks... I think he sees the benefits, but at the same time, I think he thinks it would be better for me just to go get another job, and that would be, like, secure and, you know, of what we're accustomed to.
Okay. So we're dealing with something a little bit different here in this case. Like, let's just talk about the husband issue
mm-hmm.
for a second. So we have this thing that we want to achieve, and we're not receiving the support we need,
mm-hmm.
right? That happens to us all the time. I remember years and years ago when I first started my company, not this one, the one before, the idea was to go from high school to high school to high school doing presentations on life skills to high school students. And I remember my husband said, who's going to let you into the school? And then I had this other idea, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a co-op program, and instead of getting me to go to the schools, I'm going to take on students, and they're going to go to the schools, and they'll be much more likely to get in. He said, who's going to give you co-op students? And so there were these naysayers. You can write that down, naysayers
right.
in my world. And so for me, the naysayers just caused me to think more strategically. Okay, so how am I going to get that done? How am I going to kind of step up my game? But that's not always the reaction for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue becomes the story you tell. Again, the story you tell is pretty critical. And so let's go back to those four words, thoughts, beliefs, expectations, results. And you're getting exposed to an ideology or a belief system that says, well, what's going to happen if you fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people start businesses. A lot of them fail. You know, that's scary. That's not secure. We have to feed our children. There's a chance of failure, right?
Right.
That's really what you're dealing with. And as you see that idea popping up in your head, there is a possibility of you adopting that belief. And that belief will not only slow you down, it will stop you cold. Okay, and that's where the fear of taking risks come in. So there are lots and lots of things that you need to start to do. Number one is you need to understand that that's his fear and separate yourself from him. You don't have to take it on. That's for starters. Okay, so we have lots of people who have lots of fears, and they come to them for lots and lots of different reasons, and we don't have to manage other people's fears. We just need to really manage our own. And the way we manage our own is by playing it out and seeing what's on the other end of it. Right? And going, okay, well, I can deal with that. I have the strength to deal with that. That's dealable. But here's the best case scenario, and here's what I'm going to do. I've played out my negative case. I've played out getting back up again from the failure, but I'm not going to live there. I'm going to live in the place where I imagine my success, because that's what I'm going to get when I focus on my success. And I'm going to build that up. I'm going to grow that. I'm going to play it out. I'm going to imagine that to the best of my ability. And I'm going to experience it even before I get there. So I'm going to make cold calls, and I'm going to experience the success even before I pick up the phone. And then I'm going to pick up the phone. So tell me, what do you mean by marketing? Are you a copywriter?
I worked in marketing, and a lot of what I did was writing for different purposes. So and I like doing that, and I know that lots of people make a really solid income doing that, you know, independently. You don't have the office hour. You know, it's all on your own. And so now I sort of have this additional time to pursue it. So, yeah, exactly. I could do, you know, like internal communications or marketing writing, email marketing, what have you.
Melissa, how do people reach you if they want marketing assistance?
Well, I'm in the process. I'm actually going to, after this call, I'm going to go leave and meet a woman I'm partnering with, and we're in the process of building a website, so there's nothing really quite on it yet. But you could email me at Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at gotogirlsmarketing.com. And that's the name of the website, but it's just, it's mostly blank. There's a couple of samples on there. Amy and I are going to meet today about putting some additional samples and content on the website.
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to show you what Melissa just did. Okay? She gave us the reason why she's not all together put together. Okay? That's what she did. But it's not all there, and we're going to do it, and blah, 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 blah. Yes? She gave me a story. And she, what did she do with that story? She slowed me down from buying. Yes? Instead, here's your alternative, Melissa. I'm giving it to you. Here's how you reach me.
Okay.
Period. Stop talking. Got it?
Yes.
Okay? This is really, really important. I will tell you that I started my coaching business with no website. I started it with a phone call that says, I have an idea. I have an idea that I want to coach in a very, very different way than has ever been done before in this industry. It's an idea. It's a trial. Do you want to play with me? The answer was yes. I didn't give her all the reasons why I couldn't and why I wasn't ready. I didn't give her all the reasons why my marketing wasn't up to speed. She said, here's what I need from you, and I said, perfect, I'll get that to you right away. Are you listening here?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how many people I speak to who are interested in coaching who tell me why they can't quite coach yet. They're not certified, they don't have experience, they are scared to call people, they are still studying, they are coaching people, but they coach for free. I cannot even explain to you how many barriers we put up to our own success because we're scared. Sorry to be hard on you.
No, I appreciate it.
So I want to kind of take a little bit of a turn here and tell you that there are a million and one opportunities in front of you all day and all night. All day and all night. You go into a store, you don't know, maybe the store owner needs marketing assistance. Right? You go into the hairdresser, maybe the hairdresser is having sexual intimacy issues. You have no idea how many opportunities are in front of you all day and all night. All day and all night. You have no idea how many opportunities are in front of you all day and all night to have better relationships with people. And there's two parts of this. One is recognizing the opportunity. And number two is taking action to see if it's really an opportunity. It's exploring the opportunity. Let's just call it exploring the opportunity. And sometimes we connect exploring an opportunity with taking risk. And what I want to tell you is there's no risk in exploring an opportunity. You're just exploring. So many people don't even explore. So many people don't even explore because they're terrified. They've already played it out and failed even before exploring. And so I'm here to tell you, you can lower your risk by exploring first. Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story. Carla started by saying, I have lots of stories. A few years ago, I was in Denver for a meeting. I was there for a couple of days, and I was supposed to fly home on Friday morning and go to the Billy Joel concert on Friday night. And I get to the airport, and the flight was canceled, and there would not be another flight until the next day. So I had to miss my Billy Joel concert. And at the time, I was a single mom, and I was thinking, okay, like, it's okay. My kids are supposed to be at their dad's until tomorrow, so I'm okay. I have a bit of buffer here. But you know, disappointed that I was missing the Billy Joel concert. Never mind. They told us to go to the hotel. They squeezed us all into a bus. I was literally sitting on the floor beside the driver because the bus was so packed. Get to a hotel, and they say, well, you have to be back at the airport at 8 o'clock, and there will be some shuttle buses. And I decided, given the lineup, I'm going to take the first shuttle bus, and I'm going to be the first one in line. Woke up at 5 in the morning, got on the 6 o'clock shuttle bus, arrived at the airport. I was literally number 2 in line, waiting. I mean, we were there before the customer service desk even opened. I get to my turn. It turns out that today's flight is also canceled, and we can't go home. We've got to go back to the hotel again. And now there is a big fuss happening in the lineup when all of these people who are on this one particular flight start to freak out. What do you mean? How could it be? 2 days in a row? Why aren't there any flights? And I'm thinking to myself, I got to get home. Like, I just have to get home. I got to get to my kids, and this is insane. And what do? I start to explore an idea. Write that down. Explore an idea. I call up my brother and I say, I'm stuck here. It's day 2. They want to keep us here for another night. You know what? I want to call the president of Air Canada. My brother's name is David. David, can you please find me the name and phone number of the guy at Air Canada? And he's sitting on the computer. He goes, here's his name. His name is Monty Brewer, and here's his phone number. I'm thinking, that's an interesting name, Monty Brewer. Why not? So I pick up the phone, and I call the number he gives me, and some woman answers. And I say, is Monty Brewer there, please? And she says, no, he isn't. I said, well, I need to talk to him. I'm stuck in Denver. I'm a single mother, and I need to get home. He said, well, I'm just his wife. And I felt kind of funny. I felt a little embarrassed. I felt a little inappropriate, a little out of place. I said, well, if you could get this message to him, that would be great. Here's my phone number. Within five minutes, I get a phone call from some guy that says, Miss Addis, my name is, I don't remember what, and I work for Air Canada, and we've got you on the next flight home. True story. So what was the cost of my action? Nothing. A phone call. Nothing. What was I doing? I was exploring. Did I know where I was even calling when I called this number? Absolutely not. Was there a little discomfort? Sure, but who cares? Like, what's the big deal? Right? So what did that do for me? It helped me to understand that there are all kinds of perceived barriers, imagined barriers that are there that I've invented, that I've created. I've made them up. And I could get past those barriers if I really wanted to. And there's a point at which you kind of go, who cares? Let me try this. Let me explore the possibility. What was my risk? Nothing. But who does that? Nobody. Right? And what sometimes taking risks means doing what other people aren't so easily, readily to do. Was it really a risk? Did it affect my health? No. Did it affect my reputation? No. Did it affect my children? Yes, if I got home faster. Right? Did it affect anything? No. Was it really a risk? No. Was it something that most people would do and feel okay about? Absolutely not. So the other part of this conversation is, what's really a risk? What's really a risk? Very few things are really, really risks. You know, the other day I got a video from a friend of mine, and this guy who does he does rock climbing with no ropes. That's a risk. Right? That's a risk. And some people want to do those kinds of things. It gives them a thrill, and that's fine. And I'm not even talking about those risks. I'm talking about things that aren't even actually risks. It's funny, you know, the other day I was talking to someone else. Let me ask you a question. Laura, Melissa, Jillian, are you married?
I am.
Yes.
Who said that? Melissa?
Melissa.
Jillian, are you married? Are you there? You know that the success rate for marriages is 50%? High risk. And do you know that the implications of getting married and getting divorced are extremely emotionally challenging? Yet we do it, right? We do it. Why? Because it's okay. Because people think it's okay to do. Because that's what people do. Because somehow out there, you've gotten a green light that that's what you do, even though there's a 50% chance of failure. Interesting. Look at all the other things you don't do because people out there create discomfort for you around it. And they're not actually risks. Relative to marriage, we're willing to get married, but we're not willing to do a cold call. Relatively speaking, one's not even a risk. Right? And what are we doing? We're protecting our emotions. We're protecting the idea that someone could reject us. We're protecting our frailty. And what we're doing is we're creating the image of ourselves as being frail and not being able to get back up. And not telling the story of, this guy just isn't interested right now. It has nothing to do with me. And I would have never known had I not asked. Right? So what I'm trying to do is reconfigure risk for you. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to tell you another story. There's a gentleman, his name is Richard Paul Evans. And he wrote a book years and years and years ago. He wrote a book for his family. It was Christmas time, and he wrote a book for his daughters as a Christmas gift. And he made two copies, and he showed his wife before he gave it to his children for Christmas. And he said, what do you think of this story? She said, oh, my God, it's a great story. Why don't you make some copies for our family members as a Christmas gift? And so he created 120 copies. He went to Kinko's, and he got those copies done. And he took those copies and he gave them out to his cousins and aunts and uncles for Christmas, and those 20 copies ended up getting read by 160 people. And they sent him emails saying, wow, this is such an incredible story. You really, really need to get it published.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? He went to every single publisher he could think of and said, here's my book. Will you publish it for me? And they said, no, there's no market for Christmas books. No market for Christmas books. So what did he get? He got rejected. So did that stop him? Well, he kept getting encouraged by the readers of his book. They said, you really need to get this book published. So he decided to self-publish the book. He made 5,000 copies of the book, and he lived in a station wagon. He had a station wagon, and he decided to go across the country from bookstore to bookstore to bookstore doing book signings with his book. His book was $5. And he'd sit at the bookstore some days and never sign a book. He was just going at it day after day after day. One day, the American Booksellers Association had a conference, and they offered him, would you like to buy a booth? The booth was $400, and he did the math. He said, okay, I have to sell 80 books in order to break even. And they said, well, there's going to be 25,000 people at this conference. He said, well, okay, so that shouldn't be a problem. I should be able to sell 80 books given all the people. And so he bit the bullet, and he bought a booth, and he showed up at this conference and at this trade show, and he sat there, and there were no people. There were no visitors. Nobody came by his booth. And he said, what is going on here? They said that there were going to be 25,000 people. Where are all the people? And he got up from his booth, and he went to look around. He went to ask. You know, he made an investment, and they weren't keeping up their end of the promise. And he walked into this hall, and all of a sudden, the hall was packed solidly with hundreds of people left, right, and center in lineups. And he noticed that they were lining up, and at the front of the room there was like a long, long, long table from one end of the room to the other of all the famous authors. And they were there, and there were lineups of people getting their books signed by these famous authors. He said, oh, here's all the people. And he walked around a little bit, and he noticed that at this table at the front of the room, one of the chairs was empty. In that moment, he went back to his trade show booth. He grabbed his books. He went back to the room, and he went right up to that table and sat down on the chair. But he wasn't a famous author. He wasn't known. What was the risk? What was the risk? Anybody?
Nothing.
Someone
really?
Would notice and kick him out, but so what?
Okay.
He was back to where he started.
Right, so he went down there, and he sat down at the table, and all of a sudden a security guard saw him from the corner of her eye, and she walked right up to him, and he looked up at her, and he told her, this is what he said to her, he said, I'm sorry I'm late. And she looked at him, and she knew very well that he wasn't supposed to be there, and she said to him, would you like some water? She let him stay. There was like an unspoken language between the two of them, and he has since sold more than 6 million books and become one of those famous authors. Now, in that moment, he took a risk. In that moment, he made a life-changing decision. In that moment, he saw an opportunity to step up. And what we're talking about here today is the fact that there are opportunities left, right, and center, all over the place. Is there a cost sometimes to taking opportunities? Sure. But we often misjudge the actual price of the cost of that item, of taking the risk. We misjudge. Because where would we be if we didn't take the risk? Is that exactly where we are now? We wouldn't have gone any further. We wouldn't have moved any further. And so today, your job is to look around and say, what opportunities am I missing? What opportunities am I missing to be more loving? What opportunities am I missing to spread my warmth? What opportunities am I missing to make a sale? What opportunities am I missing to connect with someone and see if they have a need for increased sexual intimacy or marketing? What opportunities am I missing because I'm scared, because I'm playing small? What opportunities do I have to just step up a little bit and speak up a little bit? And how does that create greater alignment for me? Because even if I don't get the reaction or the response that I'm looking for, I'm still being who I am. I'll tell you a story of my own recent rejection. I was in Montreal. I grew up in Montreal, and I was there with my family, and we stopped off at the mall where I grew up. We're walking in the mall, and all of a sudden I see this guy that I went to high school with. His name was Jay Nadler. I'm like, oh my God, Jay Nadler! I got really excited. And he looked at me, and he had no idea who I was. I said, it's Kim Addis! Right? And he's like, oh, hi. Less than warm. He's like, oh, well, I really can't talk to you right now. I've got to be somewhere. I said, oh, maybe we can connect on Facebook. And he said, no, I don't do Facebook. And he walked away. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what a blow. Right? Like, that was a serious blow. We used to be friends. We used to be part of the same group. I thought, wow, that was really harsh. What was up with that? Right? But here's the thing. That had I seen him and not said anything, there would have been no chance for reconnection. You know, where did I end up? No different than where I started. Was I a little bit hurt? Yes, I was a little bit hurt. Did it bother me? Yes, it bothered me. Did it let me stay down? No chance. Fast forward, a week later, I see a new friend on Facebook that I haven't seen in years and years and years. Does that experience stop me from reaching out? No way. Not in a million years. Why? Because I know my experiences in life will cause me ups and downs, and I can see myself recovering at the end of it. No real big deal. Any questions, any thoughts, anything, and I want to share with you, I know we're at the end of our time, an opportunity for you guys to sign up for a program where we are creating a coaching program specifically on helping you push beyond your limits, take risks, become more, experience more, live in greater alignment. Is anybody interested in learning more about that opportunity?
Yes.
All right. So it starts on the week of November 28th. Carla, one of our awesomeness coaches, will be teaching that course. We are looking to coach only a small group because it's going to be intense. The idea is to start before the new year to get a jump start on it. And we're really talking about, what is your greatest fear? Where does that come from? What beliefs do you have so deeply ingrained in you that it's impossible to get by those beliefs, to get to those sides? We're looking at the contrast between love and fear. We're talking about what it is that you do to self-protect that actually gets in your way of great success. The cost is $1,200. And Carla told me to tell you that she is prepared to give you a 24-hour discount. In other words, if you sign up before noon tomorrow, that you will get $200 off and pay $1,000 instead of $1,200. It's a 10-week program. Carla, do you have anything to add to that?
No, just that it's going to be 10 weeks to play with everything that we're talking about today. So you'll be surrounded by people who are doing the same thing. We'll be in the conversation of risk. You'll get to practice. You're supported. I'll challenge you. I'll push you and support you, you know, the whole way. So just an opportunity to take what Kim has talked about today and apply it in your life.
How do they reach you, Carla?
You can email me at Carla, C-A-R-L-A, at frameofmindcoaching.com.
Carla at frameofmindcoaching.com. Perfect. So reach out to Carla. Explore the opportunity. You don't have to sign up, but you do have to explore the opportunity. Find out if it's for you. Find out if it's a fit. Feel whether or not it invigorates you. Identify what it is about that opportunity that may be even scary for you. And I will say this, that the more risks you take, the less risky it feels to take those risks. Just like the more public speaking you do, the less scary it is. And what we want to do is move you to that place where those risks that you feel are huge are no-brainers. Any thoughts, comments, questions, feedback, anything at all, please, I'd love to hear from you.
This was very excellent, Kim. Congratulations. Great work.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. I agree. I agree. I'm Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm glad I was here today. It happened for a reason.
Anyone else? Yes.
Yeah, it's Joanne. I mean, isn't it sometimes that not taking the risk costs more than taking it?
Yes. Yes. 100%. You know, I'll tell you something that pops up for me. You know, I was married, I was divorced, and getting remarried was like a whole new ball of wax, right? Because you're coming in with a whole set of experiences of previous pain. And boy, does that kind of really just slow you down. And I'll tell you one thing for me. There was something that I never wanted to live with was the idea of never allowing myself to love, right? That was a way bigger risk than the idea of failing again. I've done it before. I can recover. I've gotten up before. And so the idea of never loving again, never allowing myself to be loved, was a way bigger risk than trying again at what I thought would be probably a really, really great marriage. So I know that it's taking us off course, but I'll tell you, for me, that was a huge risk. Huge risk, but much less than the idea of not being willing to take it. Anyone else?
Hi, Kim. It's Sunny. I have had ideas in my back pocket for many, many years, and I feel like I am that person that gets in my own way and creates stories in my head of why it wouldn't work, and a lot of it has to do with independence and survival. But I love the stories that you told because it motivates me to think I can even go and bartend if worse comes to worse and I'm flat on my face and I have no money and I can't survive. I can do many other things to form a way to survive, I guess. So I think this is really hot. It was motivating for me, so I want to say thanks.
And Sunny, I want you to know that if anything ever happens for you to fall flat and on your face, we'd be talking about sales. Mind coaching. So you can put that in your back pocket.
Oh, I would love that.
And Melissa, please reach out to me. I've been looking for a copywriter for a while.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. I really appreciated everything you said, and I agree with what was just said about how motivating it was. The story about the author is tremendous.
Awesome. All right, well, guys, reach out to Carla, Carla at frameofmindcoaching.com. If you have any feedback or questions or anything for me, reach out to me too, Kim at frameofmindcoaching.com, and come to our next teleseminar. As I said in my email, be there or be square.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you, Kim.
Bye-bye.
I love hearing you.
I know.
Bye-bye.